Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Alright, Wake Up Hollywood. I'm your host, Nikki Corulla, with my co-hosts.
Actually, don't wake up. It's about like 8 o'clock at night. Go sleep after this.
You know, your dad came up with the name of the
sound
show.
Advice. That's very sound advice.
I have Eddie and Colton Pence. And Colton is sitting on Eddie's lap. Eddie, I'm a little bit appalled that you've never asked me to sit on your lap during the show.
You can. After he gets off. Yeah, come by.
I don't know if that would work out so well. How you guys doing?
We're in the middle of, what are we in the middle of doing at home, Colton?
Building the Death Star Lego.
That sounds very involved. And I heard there's something like 4,000 pieces.
I know there is only 14 plus, but I took a piece of paper, cut it part.
So 14.
Of it,
it's only for 14-year-old kids.
And then I wrote whatever.
There you go. No, that's proper English.
And then I wrote 8 plus, and then I stuck it on. You didn't hear anything I said.
you have to speak in complete sentences for us to understand.
So you've told everybody your secret now. You've told the world your secret. That the Legos for an 8-year-old, not 8-year-olds.
Don't worry, you can buy even if you're a 1-year-old.
See that, Eddie?
How far along are we on the Death Star Lego?
Yeah,
we're at the
bag number what?
7.
7?
And there are 10 bags.
Yeah, that's a misnomer, though.
Wait a minute.
It says 10 bags, right? But each number set of bags contains like its own 4 or 5 bag. Like bag one is like 4 bags.
But how are you through that many pieces? Are you almost finished?
Yeah.
We're on the third of 4 levels. There's 4 levels.
So technically that would be like you've done 3,000 of the 4,000 pieces.
We're past the halfway point.
Wow.
Wow.
But like bag number 7, there's 5 bag number 7s.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
So it's not like, it's not 10 bags.
I don't know how you have the patience for that.
It's like 35 bags.
I would have quit 4 bags ago.
Ah.
Can you do this, Colton? No, don't try.
No.
I was just kidding.
Not yell in the microphone.
Eddie, how's your week been?
That's all right.
You had a couple shows last time I talked to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Don't listen to him. His week was boring. All he does is sit around on a computer.
Did you get punished this week, Colton? Did you get grounded for anything?
He should be. He should be grounded for what he's doing right now.
He rolled his eyes at you, Eddie.
Yeah, he's good at rolling his eyes. I don't know where he got that from.
He probably got it from
Curious
Tracy.
George.
Curious George taught you to roll your eyes?
Because Betsy rolled her eyes at Steve.
No one knows who Betsy or Steve is in Curious George.
Yeah, I'm like way beyond Curious George. I only remember the monkey. That's it. That's it. I'm way over my head.
Whatevs.
Now.
If you're
whatevs.
The street lingo's coming out, Eddie. Where's the discipline? You lack discipline. I'm just kidding.
Such a noob.
Such a newbie. Well, Colton, thanks for joining us, man.
All right.
We're gonna get to our guest.
We have to get to our guest now. Say bye. You can come back in at the end and say bye to everybody, okay? All right, doing fart noises. Okay.
Bye.
And we're clear.
See you in a few hours.
That's bye. Right. And it looks like our special guest has arrived. Miss Abby Posner.
They call me Abney.
Hold on. Our studio audience, give you a round of applause. There are too many things going on at once.
It's a huge crowd in
here. I know. You see, we hide them. God. We hide them, but they come out when you come out to say hello to everybody.
I had to, like, make my way in. There's people blocking the aisles.
High-fiving people on the way in. So, Abby, you and I did a show, I think, maybe about 8 or 9 months ago, maybe longer than that.
Gosh, yeah. I guess it was about 8 or 9 months ago.
And that was the first time I'd ever heard your music.
Where'd you guys do a show at?
Where was it? You remember.
Was it Hotel Cafe? Or?
No. It was like a coffee house in the valley.
Oof.
With Anthony Starble and...
Then it must have been over... Oh, you know what? It must have been in Pasadena?
Maybe, yes.
At the Coffee Gallery.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
See, you know what? Yeah. I knew she'd remember. Pasadena wasn't even in the valley. Not the right valley.
It's a great
venue.
The
other valley.
By the way.
Yeah.
Coffee Gallery is awesome.
And I was really impressed because Abby Slade, this other kid, Anthony Starble Slade, and who was the other person that was on the bill as well?
You Slade.
Well, I did all right.
Slate.
I'm very critical of myself. That's to the point where
it's just
like,
acoustic sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony and I actually went to CalArts together.
That's right.
Yeah. Good guy. Incredible songwriter.
And you're not from LA. Where are you from originally?
No, I'm originally from Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go way back to the beginning. How'd you get into music? How did you start playing guitar? What was the first catalyst that made you want to be a musician?
I've been playing music since I was about 5 or 6, and I just like kind of jumped out of the womb singing.
That's
like,
amazing.
Frère Jacques, I just like started as a baby singing a lot of different songs, and then when I was about 5, I started taking piano lessons, and I've always been really drawn to performance and really drawn to like the arts,
right?
Really drawn to theater. And music was it just felt like home to me. When I touched an instrument, it felt very familiar. I then went on to teach myself a number of different instruments. So
I've seen some of your videos. Mm-hmm. And you play. Let's just like go through the gamut. Like, what are all the instruments that you play?
So I play guitar, banjo, mandolin, keyboard, drums, percussion, little didgeridoo.
Nice. Can you do the circular breathing?
Yeah, a little bit.
I just got taught how to do that, and it's not an easy thing.
It's tricky. It's totally tricky. Yeah. But harmonium, a little harmonium.
Wow.
And I teach also. So I teach a multi, like a spectrum of instruments.
And did you start with like classical music? Did you start with like regular folk music? What did you start with?
I started with, with piano it was classical. And then I did a lot of blues, a lot of soul music.
That's
a lot
amazing.
Of blues when I was like, that's the bread and butter of music is soul and blues and R&B. And so I did a lot of blues guitar when I was about 10. And
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's kind of a lot of people don't know, but like electric guitar is one of my main things, so I like to do lead stuff a lot.
That's awesome.
I just started playing in a soul cover band, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like all 60s stuff, like Memphis.
Like Stax Records.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
A little Jackson 5.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like my other passion is doing like a lot of soul music, a lot of blues, and then also bluegrass and folk music.
And how did you do, I assume Colorado, the geographical location of where you grew up, had a lot of that influence, right?
It did. I mean, my parents are real, they're like, do you know what yippies are? Do you know what that is?
I mean, maybe.
It's like a subculture movement of being a hippie.
Okay.
So it's kind of like an intellectual hippie.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And a political active hippie.
Okay. Did you know that, Eddie? You heard of that?
I've heard of yippies. I didn't know what they were. I've heard the term.
I was actually named after one of the main yippies, Abby Hoffman.
Oh, that's awesome.
And in that movement was a lot of activism folk music. And I think my parents really, you know, they listened to Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell around the house. And so
such a great era of music.
Oh, God, it's the best.
I mean, I just got chills thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, those songs had substance. And that was like pop music. I'm so jealous that that's what they grew up with as being pop music.
Dude, you're telling me. Yeah, the music. I mean, I'm not going to diss any pop music these days. There are some really talented artists.
Right.
But it's just I think the authenticity is lacking in some music right now. And
absolutely.
And I miss that. That's why I always pride myself on, like, I do producing and stuff. And when I'm tracking, I like to play all the instruments.
Right.
Without computers, you know, manipulating things.
I mean, there's an art to that too, but
I'm not dissing that.
You and I are woven from the same cloth.
Yes.
Because I think the same about all of that.
Absolutely.
Were your parents musicians?
You know, my mom played guitar and sang a little bit around the house, and I think that actually excited me because I would sing harmonies with her.
That's awesome. It just makes your ears super sharp.
Yeah, and it was a passion of hers. It was something that she just loved, and my dad is like a music expert. He is like a music historian.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you'd listen to something and say, actually, that was driven from the blah, 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 blah. Like, Eddie, you could be a Lego historian with your
brother. I could at this point.
Exactly. We need more Lego historians in this world.
We do.
You can tell them Bag 4 originated from the...
Bob Dylan.
Yes, yeah, there's not enough. There's not enough Lego theory in the world.
So we're up to 10-year-old Abby shredding on blues guitar.
Yeah.
When did you start your first band?
Well, actually, my first band started when I was about 12.
That's awesome.
And it was called Love Stain.
What?
Yeah.
Did you know what that
was? I didn't know. Like... I was in a band full of boys.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, you know what would be a really cool name? Love Stain. I was like, that seems really poetic.
That sounds edgy, man.
Yeah, I'm like, that's really tender.
So full of substance.
So how long were you in that band for?
I was in Love Stain for maybe a year. You know, we had a few hit singles. Sheets, oh my, gotta clean them. No, it wasn't that. I was also in a band called 6 Feet and Flies when I was in elementary school.
I like that.
And
you're like prolific by you're not even like a teenager yet. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then I think it was middle school was like I started a ska band, a punk band. And then college, I was in my main band for about probably 12 years called Fear Mia.
Wow.
And we played all over LA. We were in Ventura. We played everywhere in Hollywood. We toured. And
this is when you were at CalArts?
Yeah, I started at CalArts.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
That was kind of my like first indie folk band.
And what was your major at CalArts?
It was multi-instrumentation. In that school, it's called the MAP program, the Musical Arts Program. So we're kind of allowed to, you know, trot around and do composition and world music and jazz and different instruments. So
my saxophonist that passed away, he went to school there, Zane Musa.
Oh, I do know that name.
And man, he was such a tremendous artist, and he had such a positive experience at CalArts. So whenever anybody has gone to school there, and I've seen a lot of great musicians like you and Anthony and also Zane. And everybody has such a positive... They say it's like one of the best artist-friendly atmospheres
it really
that
is.
You can have in a school environment.
I'm telling you, like, I loved my college experience. I still have best friends from the dance program. I hope she's listening now. Leanne, I love you.
Hey, Leanne.
And I still, you know, collaborate with people from the music school. And it's just such a diverse... you know, a group of people. There's creation happening all the time, like in every corner.
That's awesome.
So you're constantly inspired. You know, it's beautiful.
That's the way it should be.
Oh, that's the way the world should
be. Maybe you should have gone to CalArts. He's like, nah. Where did you go to film school again?
Chapman?
Oh, yeah, out here. So you were out here.
Okay. I was out here.
So you were breathing the same
I was thing. A guinea pig of that program. I mean, it was like the second year of the program, so it was like very... Like, now it's way different, but, like, that was 15, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
But just being in this environment, it's such a creative atmosphere. Southern California just has so much art going on.
Yeah, it's definitely got that kind of electric energy.
So did you make your first record in school?
I did, yeah. I made it under the name Mia, and then which later became Fear Mia. Tracked that on campus, and then later went to Busk for years on the 3rd Street Promenade with my band. And that funded our first real album.
That's awesome. How many times a week would you go do that?
I think we went every weekend.
And did you have to move around? Like, isn't the rule you have to move every hour?
Yep, you know how it goes. Yeah, and I have friends that do it full time now, but we did it like probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And did you have generators? Don't you need generators?
Yeah, we had a big battery, a big marine battery.
Wow.
That we would have with the cart and our PA system, our entire PA system, schlepping it around. And you know, this was when I was like in my early 20s. Right. I can't do that shit.
No. You know what? That's what I did in my early 20s. And I remember the first time we went, it was like, oh, did you bring the generators? Oh yeah, I think so. Oh wait, they're not charged. And it's just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
But it doesn't
awesome.
Matter because you're in your early 20s and you've got so much energy to deal with all that.
Yes. Like, now I have no patience for that.
Now I'm like, I have to bring my guitar to a radio show now.
Dude, I just did a jam and they were like, oh yeah, you gotta bring your amp. And I was like, I gotta bring my amp?
Yeah, dude.
And they're like, dude, this is what you do. I'm like, I know, but really? You know, and it's so,
I'm getting tired.
Yes, I'm very much
burning.
I'm in the same boat.
I'm burning.
All right, so you did your first record. You were in a band. You were busking. And then when did you break out as a solo artist?
So it was about 2008 that I decided I needed to do my own work.
And what was the reason behind it?
I loved playing with Fear Mia, and I loved my co, like, lead singer, Jesse Olima. He's an incredible fiddle player. And I knew that I needed to, like, try and find my own voice again. And I also knew Jesse needed to find his own voice because he's so insanely talented. So I feel like we had to kind of take a little... We didn't split quite then because we started another band together called Fiddle and Pine.
Wow.
Which was a bluegrass band.
I think this is the third band you have now?
It's a lot. Wow. I'd say my main projects in L.A. have been Fear Mia, which was a kind of rock folk band. Fiddle and Pine, which was pretty pure bluegrass. And then my main band now is Abby and the Myth.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
That's a lot of bands and a lot of patience.
It is a lot of patience.
I understand why you're like, do I have to bring my guitar?
No, I'm just kidding.
And did you play mostly guitar in all these bands, or did you play other instruments?
With Fiddle and Pine, I did banjo, mandolin, guitar. And then in Fear Mia, I mostly played electric guitar and guitar. Like,
that's
just
amazing.
Like acoustic. But
so that's probably why I was attracted to, like,
yeah, I like to
do other things.
Different genres. Like, I've always been a fan of kind of dipping into, you know, like, reggae and world music, as well as kind of the marriage between that and folk.
Right.
And I explored that in some of those projects. I feel like I'm still exploring that.
Eddie, are there, like, different genres of comedy that you kind of, is like a parallel like that? Do you kind of... I mean, there are, because there's so many different styles, right? So,
yeah, I mean, there's observational, there's physical. I mean, there's stuff like that, but they're more, it's more broad. I don't think it's as specific, or I don't know.
That's interesting.
It's, I don't know. I don't think you, like, just become, I don't know. It's weird. I think you're constantly, as an artist, you constantly change whatever you're doing. You're constantly doing different things. I don't think you're just like, I'm a physical comedian, that's all I'm going to do.
Right.
Or I'm an observational comedian, that's all I'm going to do. Because even Seinfeld was, I guess, originally just an observational comedian, like, what's the deal with this? And then, right. But even if you saw his last Netflix special, he's really morphed into, like, it's all about him, his entire process of growing up and being a kid and wanting to be a kid. Like, he's become talking about his own life, which is very different than what he used to do. So I think, I don't know.
It just changes. It's interesting. I always like to draw parallels with, I mean, that's one of the fascinating things about this, doing the show for me is, it's like you pull different artists in and you see what their processes are.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. You've got all this wide span of influences. At that point, you're doing your solo records or your solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What artist is becoming a major influence that made you want to go in the direction with Abby and the Myth?
Wow. So I started kind of forming that
band.
See,
good questions, right?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I'm like, I got to really think about that. I started forming that band in about 2003. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 2015. That's a very drastic range. I got thrown off there.
That's all right. Sorry, that's my water bottle.
Like a water puck over here. Yeah, 2015, I started forming that band. And I think at that point, I've been very influenced by a lot of the more kind of independent musicians that are still successful, but kind of not more in the mainstream.
Right.
Like Andrew Bird is one of my all-time favorite artists.
I played Bonnaroo with him in 2008.
Oh, it's amazing.
It was the first time that I was blown away with him. And then I think he recently just did the Arroyo Seco Festival.
We saw him.
Was he Saturday or Sunday?
He was on the second day.
Okay, so I played the same day. But
oh, you
I think
did?
Our time slots were, like, overlapping, so I missed his set.
That's
but he's,
cool.
like, one of the best artists that is not on, like the pop realm at all.
No, he's just incredible.
He's super experimental, and he's just, like, a
every kind of genre.
I know.
I mean, he's doing folk and rock and, like, odd meters and avant-garde and...
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. And Chris Thiele is another one.
I don't know him.
Oh, he's from the Punch Brothers.
Okay.
And
he's
actually the host of Prairie Home Companion now.
Wow.
Which is the NPR show.
Yeah. Garrison Keillor's old
Yeah,
show.
He's the host now.
Wow.
And he
that's
is just
awesome.
A genius. I think he even may have won the Genius Award.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's let's get to a song.
Let's
what are you
going
to play us first?
So I'll play one from my band Abby and the Myth just put out a record last year. Called
Congrats.
When You Dig a Well. Thank you.
Oh, our studio audience loves that. Oh.
Thank you, audience. Oh, please, sit down. So, yeah, this is a song from that record. And I just want to give a shout-out to my band who is not in the studio. David Celia is the drummer on the album. Cara Batema is accordion. And on this record, we have an incredible bass player named Donovan Bolin.
Awesome.
So, this is called Gray Halls.
White is the color of this room, and I keep knocking it down. Gray is the painting in the hall, and no one here makes a sound. Well, time keeps on blocking me in, and I'm falling behind. Walk out the door once again, and everyone here is blind. Seems to be home. Bark like an old wounded dog that can't find a bone.
I'm going to give you first dibs on the first question.
Anything
goes. Just ask me anything.
Did you come up with the title or the song first?
Oh, that's
good.
Good
question.
Really
I
good
like
question.
That.
Yeah. I came up with the song lyrics first for that one.
Do you usually do that, or do you usually come up with song? I mean, I know some people work with titles, and then it inspires them to write the song.
You know, there was one song, that's a really good question. There was one song on the record here that I started writing, and I was actually writing at my kitchen table looking out through the window, and I saw a couple of white, beautiful white butterflies. And I saw, the song I was writing was kind of about a breakup, and mm-hmm. you know, I was like leaning toward that direction, but then I started to think, you know, what if I kind of turn this metaphorically into a song called Butterflies? And so each of the lyrics in that song are kind of like the process of what happens to become a butterfly, but right. in the eyes of going through a breakup. So I actually created the title awesome. First
Interesting.
For that one. Yeah.
Look at this, Eddie. You're yeah. like a music journalist.
How about that?
That was like a good question. I don't know. That's
you just,
really.
I threw you a curveball, and you just went, let me hit this one out of the park.
I just wanted to think about it.
That's good. That's a good question. Yeah.
That'll be it.
First of all, I love that little blues lick you'd throw in at the end.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's badass.
Thank love you so that. Much.
You're like, let me throw this in so I can. No, it was great. It was great.
Awesome. I wish I recorded her singing.
We did.
Well, I think we got it, bud.
We got it, Colton. Yeah.
There's this cool kid in the studio, by the way, named Colton. If you're just joining us, he's my new bud.
That's right.
Yeah, he's my new bro, right? Yeah.
All right, so Abby, how many records have you done total?
Oh, gosh, that I don't know. I know it's definitely over, at this point, since I've been to L.A.,
yeah,
over 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just with Abby and the Myth?
No, Abby and the Myth, this is our second record.
Okay.
With Fear Mia, we have about 4, and then I have maybe 3 solo albums.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's about 10-ish.
So how does it differ from your solo stuff with Abby and the Myth? Do you guys go in together and talk about arrangements?
Well, Abby and the Myth is actually different. An extension of my solo project. I wanted to go under the name of Abby Posner, which I did for a while. And then I was like, you know, I kind of dig that this can still be my solo project, but with like a little added kind of inclusion of the artists that I collaborate with.
Hmm.
So the Myth is almost like, first, I do have an incredible band that supports me and backs me up and that brings to the table incredible ideas, but it's also just kind of an extension of my voice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And do you rehearse together when you're coming up with the arrangements and then road test them, or do you just go in the studio and see what happens?
I have to say, I'm a pretty big, and a lot of my bandmates, if they're listening right now, they can attest to this, I'm a pretty big stickler for arrangement. I'll usually record all my songs first on my own with all the parts and present it to them in a demo, or I'll be like, I want you to play this way, right. Kara, da da da,
right.
You know. And sometimes I'm like, you know what, this is a song that kind of calls for a little bit of some breathing room and some different ideas.
Right.
So I'll let them come in with some stuff, but I have to say, like, I'm a bit of a production and arrangement stickler.
Yep, I know the feeling. Yeah. I used to write all the parts for
yeah.
every song.
Yeah, yeah,
and
totally.
And now I've learned, like, okay, come in with ideas, but don't give the ideas to the artist. Just play it acoustic and see what everybody comes up with.
Right.
Because you don't know if you are stifling that their creativity in a way. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Sometimes I won't even voice my idea if I'm like, oh my God, this is it.
Yes.
Eureka. But I'm totally. Definitely the same. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to make, because you want this sound to be a certain way.
Very specific.
And you don't want meandering parts.
No. And I think that it's a really good question you asked about the comedy. Like, what, you know, what your voice is as a comic and what styles you're incorporating, because I think it's actually more about the individual evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's like there's not really any style I'm trying to like act out here. It's just me in my process.
Right.
And I think that that's true for comedy too. Like you're just speaking from where you are now.
Right, right, right.
And that's always what I come in with when I'm creating, when I'm like birthing a creative idea, like a song. I'm like, this is where I am now, and this is what I'm feeling and hearing.
Right.
You know, and it's an evolution. As an artist, we're constantly evolving and being challenged by our own work.
But that's the difference between what, like, what you do and what Nikhil does, and the difference between that and, like, having a true band.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you guys are doing what you want to do, and you have the accompaniment of the band behind you to support what you're doing, but it's not a true band in the sense of the word of, like,
Pearl Jam.
Like
Eddie's favorite band is Pearl Jam.
Well, I mean, a band that goes in, it's like, let's collaborate. Well, yeah. I don't even think Pearl Jam.
Like,
I mean, Pearl Jam's kind of driven by...
Let's write together. Yeah.
Pearl Jam's kind of driven by Eddie Vedder. He does most of the lyrics,
Of,
like, that's right. Pretty much... I mean, it's over the years, it's evolved where I think it's become more of a band.
Right.
But just that's the difference between, like...
Well, like, U2, for example, I didn't realize that the band will be in the studio and write a bunch of tracks, and then Bono will come in and either write on top of it. But you know, sometimes it's
a truly like collaborative effort.
Yeah.
As opposed to like you guys play this stuff. Oh, okay. Let me see what you can add to it. As opposed to like
there's a part of me that's always been like, oh, I want that. But at the same time, there's a flip side. I'm sure, Abby, you're the same way.
It's a different thing, and I still consider it to be like, this is my band. But I think that I like considering it more of like, it's an extension of my voice and a solo project, per se. But
so,
like,
yeah, it's sort of saying, like, extended. I'm in a band, and this is my band. That's like, two different.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think Metallica's a really good example, because I don't know if you guys have seen that new Netflix documentary about them.
Which one?
I think it just came out maybe last year.
I've only seen the one.
Maybe it was a while ago then?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
About them going into the studio?
Yeah, and then they hire a new bass player?
I think it was that.
That was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, okay, then it wasn't new.
It's a great documentary.
I'm getting all my timelines completely wrong.
New to you. That's all about it.
It was 2003 or 15.
Yes, right. That's okay. That's all right.
Time's relative.
It's when it finds you that's important.
But anyway, they came into the studio and kind of like went through a journey together. You know what I mean? Rather than the lead singer being like, this is my journey.
Right.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying.
Well, I'm always thinking about recording time. Like, I'm like always thinking about, okay, we need to move forward.
Yes, I am too.
It's like
efficiency.
Yes.
I am too.
It's like, and a lot of musicians or artists, like, they'll like, oh, let's take our time with this. And I'm just not like that. I like to have goals and like
deadlines.
Yes, and I know you're the same way.
We are to bump right here. We're totally cut from the same cloth. Yes. When I first met you at the coffee gallery, I was like, oh yeah, this dude's got it.
I mean, it's just one of those things. I think you have to have vision.
Yes.
And like the Eagles, Don Henley said this. He's like, great bands are never a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always one driving force in the band. So like Pearl Jam has Eddie Vedder. Fleetwood Mac has Lindsey Buckingham.
But I think that changed. I mean, not to make this about Pearl Jam, but I think that had it been that way, that band, Pearl Jam, would not have lasted.
You mean if it was always like that?
Yeah. I think that's what was driving that band apart, was Eddie Vedder was too much driving it, and it wasn't a collaborative effort. And I think because it did evolve into a collaborative effort, I think that's why they have withstood the test of time. I think that's why a lot of great bands don't stay together, because of that driving force.
There's so many factors.
By that one person.
There's a lot of factors, but I know what you're saying. I mean, with Fear Mia, with that first band I started in college, Jesse, the violin player, he's an incredible songwriter, but he was just playing fiddle at the time. And I knew he wanted to sing more. I knew he wanted to write more. So I then included him in the collaborative process of you know, both being the lead singers. And for me, as someone who is kind of constant, it almost sounds selfish, but it's like I'm constantly searching for, like, my space in art, that I really felt like I needed to dive deeper into my own evolution and my own creation.
I'm smiling because I thought you're like searching for my space. I'm like, that was like 8 years ago.
It was like 2003, 2015. No.
Let's get to another song. Let's do it. Something from the studio? You tell me.
You know, I will play this new song that we're going to release as a single. And that's going to be coming out in probably March. And so, yeah, we're going to probably release it on Spotify and all that stuff. I'll post about it on my website at abbyandthemyth.com. But this song is called Best Mistakes, and it's
I love the title already.
Thank you. It's actually about choosing music over family life and tradition and kind of what could have been.
We are woven from the same cloth.
Right? So that's what the song is about.
Twist my bones and shake the ground. Cold hands and satellites keep me wandering out through the night. Hey, don't you want to come home and settle down, start a life? I just wasting time with your ghostly dreams. Mythical themes that play out. Some days I just drive to drive, step on the gas to feel more alive. I'm tired of looking back, regretting things that I could have had. Hey, don't you wanna grow old and celebrate your best mistakes? And are you just wasting time with your ghostly dreams and stubborn themes that play out? Knock me off and keep me down. I'm tired of looking back, but only building on what we have. Hey, don't you wanna come home and settle down, start a life? And are you just discontent with your ghostly dreams? Stubborn themes that play out.
Wait for the fancy lick. Oh, yeah, that's very musical. I like it.
Thank
I
you
like
so it. Much. Thank
Eddie, you Eddie. Did that once.
What?
Eddie.
First question.
Oh, no. I already blew my load already.
Come on. No. I just want to see.
He blew his load.
I want to see if you're consistent.
I already blew my load. I'm not. I'm the most inconsistent person.
Well, let's see. Let's prove it. Your first question.
I'll bet he's going to knock
it. Yeah. See, I'm already pointing for him. First question. What are you going to do?
I don't even.
You don't even want to swing the bat?
I don't know.
Nothing?
No pressure, Eddie. No pressure.
Well, I got a question about your guitar. Let's talk a little bit about your guitar for a second.
Let's talk about it.
It seems like this is a beautiful sounding guitar.
This is my baby, yeah.
How did this guitar find you?
That's a good question. Probably when I was about 19 or 20, I got this guitar. And I was ready for an upgrade in my life. I had a Takamine that I still have, an old like 93 Takamine.
I never get rid of guitars.
Well, I do sometimes.
I just can't lie
about that. I do sometimes.
I buy more unnecessarily, but I never get rid of those.
A lot of guitars. But this is definitely my main companion here, the Gibson SD. I've just had it for so long. It's kind of created a lot of different... It's been on a lot of journeys with me.
Well, the reason I ask about it, because I can tell that it's been aged maybe about 10, 15 years.
Yep.
Just from...
Well, it's got little freckles.
Yeah.
Because I do some...
It's beautiful. It sounds amazing.
I do a lot of that kind of like rhythm stuff, but thank you.
I love this thing. It sounds great.
And it's better with age. Guitars are always better.
Well, I'm going to ask you the same question that Eddie asked. You could have asked the same question, buddy.
Yeah, but well, you don't do that.
Well...
You don't do that.
All right, what was the inspiration behind this song?
So, like I said, I'm from Colorado, and I've been, you know, going home probably twice a year since I've moved out to LA just to visit friends. And I've noticed kind of like this fork where I'm doing this other thing.
Yeah, especially you'll see it in Colorado more.
Oh yeah, and it's a beautiful country. Like, you know, it's a wonderful place to raise a child, a beautiful place to start a family and have a house. And so I started noticing I felt a little different each time I went back. I was like, well, I'm just kind of like married to my art.
Yes.
And feeling maybe like misunderstood, but only my own stuff. Like my friends have all been very supportive of me back home. But I think I've always been split down the middle of really kind of wanting that home life and that family life and that security.
Right.
And also wanting to go out and journey and focus on my art and my performance and music. And so I got a tattoo this year. I'll explain it to the listeners. One side is Los Angeles, which is a city landscape, and the other side is
the Rockies.
Mountains. Yeah. So it's kind
of... That's dope.
Thank you so much. It's like cool. The duality that I feel like I have within, you know, like wanting to settle down and start a life like the song says, and also kind of knowing that there's other stuff that I'm really married to. And
you know, when I was starting as a performer, I don't know if you came to this conclusion. I mean, I know obviously you did because you have Colton.
But, I do.
I never thought that having a home life, I guess, was necessary because it's like, I'm like, everybody that's, you know, touring and famous, what do they need? They don't need a family. Do they need a family?
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened for Paige McConnell of Phish.
Oh.
And I was like, man, you're playing amphitheaters. You're playing all the biggest stadiums. You must be on top of the world. He's like, yeah, but I don't want to be touring right now. And I was like, why? And he said, I just taught my daughter how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the first time I was like, what? What does that have to do with touring? That's
crazy.
What
are you talking about?
And it was like, it dawned on me, like, oh, the musician life, or the artist life that tours, you're on the road. Like, your road becomes this home away from home that you kind of have a parallel existence that's completely different than what you have wherever you reside. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I can relate to that, like these little moments of excitement, because I teach kids. And so I feel like part of why I was put on this earth was to influence and inspire others, especially a younger generation of children these days. I feel like that's very important in our political climate, to have real positive influence on our youth.
Yeah.
And so there's been moments that are just so small, you know, like when I teach a kid about maybe whether it's something musical or something personal and something that's a good life lesson, and to notice that it's like sticking to them. And I'm like, oh, I can die happy now. Like that's a huge moment.
Yeah, it's
for
these little Zen moments.
Yeah.
Eddie has that every day with Colton.
Yeah. I mean, you do. You don't really. Like once you have your own kid, it's weird. You change. It changes you.
Yeah.
Like, you think the things that were important to you before change. Like, even when you had your own children, you think all the things you think are important to you would completely change. And you wouldn't feel a void of, like, oh, I wish I didn't do this.
Right.
Because it's the body changes and your mind changes. Your perspective changes. And you're like, oh, I have this. This is amazing, and I can still try that, but that's not as important to me as it was. It's weird. It's a strange thing, because I wasn't a kid person.
Yeah.
I wasn't. It wasn't my dream to have it, but I did, and then I couldn't imagine. Now I can't imagine not.
Right, right.
And you knew Eddie before Colton, and I know Eddie with Colton, and it's true. I saw you go through the shift.
Go through the shift, and it's not
a lot
like...
of friends. I'm sure you have too, Abby. You know?
And there's there's not a regret to it. There's not like, oh, I wish I could have done this and that and this, but it's like... Because I've done those other things. I've been on TV. I've been in front of thousands of people doing comedy, and as good as that felt, there's doing simple things with him feel a billion times better.
It's awesome.
You know, it's just I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is, I had just had a rehearsal recently, and my percussionist was like, you know, I love playing music, and I've played all these great rooms and done all this cool stuff, but he's like, I'm also ready to live my life, you know, like have, you know, moments where it's like you have this normal part of your life
it's
that
just
you kind
of
sacrifice.
It's the biology. It's our innate biology. We're here to reproduce. Right. That's why we are here. That's our...
Well, easy now. Easy.
No, it's
easy.
Our main... It's the
I know,
main...
I'm kind of like... I feel like...
That's
well, let me just cut in here.
The main function of why we're a living species is to reproduce the next generation of species. It's just... That's the cycle of life.
Right.
I mean, I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I'm just saying that's inside of everyone.
Right. Well, I
see. It's like the scientific evolution.
We have to come to terms with it within each of us.
I think that, you know, having a child, starting a family, and going out into, you know, whatever is your true calling, whether it is having kids or whether it's, you know, following your dream as an artist or just going and traveling and seeing the world and being someone that's exploring, that is fulfilling. You know, I know people that are in their 70s and 80s that don't have kids that are like, I never wanted kids and I'm the happiest person in the world.
But there was that moment in their life where they like, do I? I mean, just not...
You have to think about it.
You have to think about it, because it's the biological urge to reproduce.
Well, I had a real...
And not necessarily... Okay, I'm going to make the choice to have children, so I have to have a home life and settle down, all this stuff. I drag him all over the place. I've taken him to shows and TV tapings and everything. I mean, you can accommodate, but it just like there is that moment. I know people like, I don't have kids, I never want them, but like they always have that moment in their life where they do have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I'm sure you feel like this too, Abby. I feel like writing a song is like creating this thing, this living, breathing thing. Mm-hmm. And recently, you know, I was playing songs that I wrote when I was in my 20s, maybe before that, mm-hmm. whatever. And it's like those songs still stay written, and they stay that age. Because, like, I'm going to be a 40-year-old man, but I'm singing these songs that were in my early 20s, and I'm a different person totally. Singing these. So it's like you write these songs, and you realize these are, like, extensions of yourself, much like another... Like, they're like babies.
I agree. I completely think of all of my songs as children and creations. And, like, yeah, I'll look back on stuff that I wrote, like, 20 years ago, you know?
No, it's a trip. I never really understood that.
And I'll be like, I can kind of almost morph back into that time period.
Yeah, it's like it's like a reflection.
Yeah.
Let's get to your studio work. What are you going to play us from the album?
Since we talked about butterflies earlier,
yeah,
why don't we jump to that song?
You have butterflies on there?
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
Butterflies. Cool.
We built for so long. The wood begins to crack, and soon the bones are gone. Only fickle minds get tangled in this dance. We read up on the books, and soon we burn the maps. The crows are flying, the gate has broken. Oh, it's still the same. Oh, it's still the same. Are you leaving? Or are you coming? Oh, I'm still to blame. Oh, I'm still to blame. Dressed in white, she is smiling. Her wings outstretched, and she removes her mask. Butterflies never stay for too long. She strummed all of the strings, and now the music's gone. Are we changing? Who are we fooling? Oh, it's still the same. Oh, it's still the same. Is this heavy, or is it floating? Oh, I'm still to blame. Oh, I'm still to blame. Shifting, oh, it's still the same. Oh, it's still the same. Are you leaving? Or are you coming? Oh, I'm still to blame. Oh, I'm still to blame.
All right. Beautiful. You got a very folky Lumineers. It's so current. It's super current.
Thank you so
were
much.
Were you influenced by the Mumford and Sons, the Lumineers, the
Yeah, a
Abbott
little
brothers.
Bit. A little. The Avett Brothers for sure.
Avett Brothers.
Yeah.
I always mess that up.
I you know, mad respect to the actually played a show with the Lumineers many years ago.
Are they from Colorado?
They started out in Denver. Okay. Yeah. And then actually, they opened for a band that I was touring with.
That's amazing.
Which was really cool, and then all of a sudden they just blew up. But yeah, I'm definitely influenced by, like, you know, like I said, Andrew Bird. There's a great artist, Shaky Graves. I don't know if you know who he is.
I know Shaky Graves. Yeah. He's
like
a solo guy, right?
Yeah, and he does a lot of that kind of, like, he does a lot of the foot pedal stuff and percussion and looping. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a whole wide range of artists that I'm really, Langhorne Slim, Tallest Man on Earth, like a lot of the kind of indie folk guys.
That's awesome. Well, you fit right in.
And ladies, I gotta give like Laura Veers a shout out. She's incredible.
Katie Tunstall? I mean, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, but there are some really incredible, you know, Dolores O'Riordan. She was like a huge influence on me growing up.
She just passed away. Did you hear about that?
She did.
Lead singer of the Cranberries.
Oh yeah, yeah. They didn't mention how she died, did she?
They don't know.
They don't know yet. Yeah, she was 46.
Yeah, I know.
Which is crazy and super creative. You know, just like a great voice.
I saw her live when I was like 12, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was amazing. I mean, I listened to the Cranberries my whole childhood, and I think she was actually one of the first female artists that I was like, oh, damn, she's a woman. She's in the spotlight. She doesn't look like a normal lady. She has short hair that's dyed, and she's punk rock, and she's got this crazy vocal technique. And I looked up to her, to be honest. I was like, wow, there's someone that kind of looks a little bit like me that's doing really different stuff.
What I love about her voice, too, it's like angsty, but also super sweet.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally. And just as a female, to be inspired by another woman, it's like passing that, you know, planting that seed for someone else. Like, I hope that I can do that for another woman.
I think you're already doing that. You're definitely already doing that.
Thank you.
So where can people see you live? Where are you touring? What's going on with the new record?
So we're, like I said, we're going to focus on getting this single out in the next probably few weeks here. I want to say March.
Was this the debut of it?
This was, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Snowsers.
You like how I threw the rooster in there?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't know we had a rooster in here.
That's our logo, kind of. Not really.
Yeah. And then I'm planning on doing a European tour in the spring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are you going in Europe?
We're still figuring that out. You know, it may very well be a solo tour. I may have a friend of mine coming with. Maybe my accordion player will join. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But somewhere kind of along the line, I'd like to go to Ireland, Scotland. It's in the process of being planned right
now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
Dude, Abby,
where
can people find you online, social media? Let's list them all out.
Yeah, so you can go to our website, which is abbyandthemyth.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Yeah, totally. ABBY and then just ANDMYTH, Abby and the Myth. You can go there or abbyposner.com, ABBYPOSNER.com. And Twitter is Abby Posner Music. And Facebook is The Myth Band.
Wow.
And Abby and The Myth is also on Instagram.
I'm amazed that you keep track of all of that. It's
amazing. I am also very amazed.
I know there's somebody that was listening that was like, Myth, is that with an I or a Y?
Or an E.
Yes.
Do you know
yes,
what I mean?
Exactly,
it's not
exactly.
M-E-T-H.
Well, Abby, you've been an amazing guest.
Thank you so much, both of you guys, for having me.
We even had a little political recreation of social affairs. I love it. I love
all
of it.
A good discussion here.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
We're going to have you back. We got to have you back.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
And I want all the stories of your European tour and many more about your new record. Where can people find the record? On iTunes?
Yeah, so you can go to Spotify or iTunes or Bandcamp. If you go to Bandcamp and just
go to iTunes first. You need to support this
and
artist.
And Bandcamp also is a good platform for artists.
Right.
If you go to Bandcamp, we're actually selling the record on vinyl.
Oh, wow.
So you can order it on vinyl at Bandcamp, and it's called When You Dig a Well.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. What's up, bro?
Colton wants to say bye.
Colton?
No, I don't want to say goodbye.
Wait, Colton, do you have any questions for me?
Any question
that you have, and I'm telling you anything at all, bud.
Take your time.
Yeah, take your time, dude.
You can
even ask me, like, what my favorite, like...
Take your time, Colton.
What's your question?
You can even ask me what my favorite food is.
Yeah, whatever.
Or like what my favorite thing to do.
What your favorite movie is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you got to ask it at some point. It's dead air. We can't.
Dead air.
Dead air.
Okay. Well, you got 5 seconds.
You got
What's
five
your question?
Seconds. We got to
okay,
end the show.
Wait. Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, that's a great question, Colton. You know, I have to say, I'm a real sucker for, well, there's two movies that come to mind.
Okay.
I'm a real sucker for, like, hopeless romantic movies. So
I love those. Which one?
Bridget Jones's Diary.
Okay, all right. That's all right.
And also, I love Persepolis, which is an amazing animation about an Iranian woman teenager.
I love action movies. Like
you like action movies? That's cool. Right on, dude.
Doesn't fall far from the tree with this.
All right, well, we got to wrap this up.
All right, on behalf of Eddie and myself. Back?
I don't know, some other time. Say goodbye.
When?
Bye, Colton. Bye, Colton. Nice to meet you.
Bye, Eddie. Bye, Abby. We'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye.